You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 17th of March, 2025. The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.8%. We'll have the details with Elio D'Amato from Daylight Financial Group in a few moments. But first to China's economy, and it would appear Chinese consumers are spending more, which is good news for its economy, given the challenges it's facing following US import tariffs. Factory production and business investment also rose, and it's hoped combined it'll help the government achieve its rough 5% annual growth target for this year. In fact, economists at ANZ have today upgraded their forecasts for growth there to 4.8% following the data, along with the 30 consumption boosting measures announced at the weekend. So to tell us all about that, I spoke earlier with Paul Bloxham, the chief economist at HSBC.
Paul, we've got a fair bit of Chinese economic data out today, industrial production, retail sales, house prices. What's it all saying about its economy?
Well, most of it was a bit better than expected. The retail numbers, the industrial production numbers, the fixed asset investment numbers were a bit stronger than expected. But the housing story is still on the weak side. So housing prices are still declining. It says that the Chinese economy is continuing to grow and that growth is perhaps picking up a little bit of pace. But the weak spot is still that housing sector.
At the time of recording this interview, we're still waiting for a media conference on some detail about some stimulus measures to come out of China. What's expected? And this also goes on top of what's been announced at the weekend too, right?
Well, over the weekend, they announced a special action plan to boost consumption. And we're expecting that what we're going to see is more details in that regard. And so it's a 30-point plan. So it's quite detailed already. But the aim is to try and get the consumer to be a bigger share of growth in the economy. They're looking at measures that allow people to recycle their manufactured goods, take them back and boost it. And that allows them to spend more money on new items. They're looking at things that hopefully boost the birth rate, because more consumers means more consumption growth. The primary challenge they face is they're facing these big export challenges globally. Well, they've got to get the consumer to be a bigger driver of growth. They've got to have domestic demand in the economy driving more of China's growth.
Yeah, so can we expand on that a bit more? Is all of this likely to be enough to meet the government's target of 5% annual growth and counter the effects of US import tariffs? Or is it also just a bit of a sign that, hey, we are willing to act?
Well, so this is the aim. The government has already announced that they're aiming to get growth in the economy to be around 5%. But the challenges they face are the property sector still quite weak. And of course, the export story looks more challenged given what we're seeing in terms of global trade policy moves. So the remaining part that can sort of support growth more is the consumer. And so that's what we're seeing the government take action about, is to try to promote more consumption growth in the Chinese economy. And they've got a big special action plan that they're announcing and delivering to seek to do more of that.
And what do you think this all means for Australia? I know if you look at the markets today, it's all those China-facing stocks that are doing particularly well. What do you think all of this means?
Well, I think in broad terms, it's a positive. China's our largest trading partner. So China supporting its own domestic demand is a good thing for the Australian economy overall. But I think also we've got to keep in mind that the stimulus is probably going to look a bit different to what we've seen in the past when they've stimulated their economy. In the past, they've pumped prime property in the infrastructure sector. It's been very metals intensive, and it's supported demand for things like iron ore and coke and coal. This time round, it's more consumer oriented. So it might be less supportive of those sectors, might be something that's more supportive of things like agricultural exports. And as you say, Australian firms facing the Chinese consumer.
That's Paul Bloxham there, the chief economist at HSBC.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Investors, though, like the data because the ASX 200 rose 0.8% today to 7,854. For more, I spoke with Elio D'Amato from Daylight Financial Group.
Elio, the ASX is up today. Why?
Oh, we've seen a bit of a relief rally today across the boards, as there was strength, of course, on the US markets on Friday. And then we got good news from China over the weekend. So all that bundled up has really seen a bit of a strong performance in the ASX today. Of course, the cynic will point to the fact that we are well and truly off our highs, or recent highs anyway. And I think anyone that suggests that the tough times have disappeared is probably kidding themselves more than anything. So I think there's still a bit more to play out, but today it's definitely green on screen. So you got to be happy there.
I want to talk about China in a bit more detail in a second, but first I've been reading some quite bearish notes out there and headlines, right? Macquarie, for example, warning of a bear market here in Australia and the US, given the consequences of Trump's economic policies. What do you think?
I think the sooner he plays golf, the better. Obviously, can't take a phone on the golf course, but nonetheless, you can tweet or do whatever you do afterwards. And I think that's what the market's really concerned about. This policy on the run, as it were, has really got quite a few up in jitters at the minute. And I think it's important to note that, you know, after every record high, inevitably comes a period of pullback. The market zigs and zags. And I think we're seeing a bit of a zag moment right now. What is scaring everyone is the strength and the veracity of the pullback, as it were, because unlike in the past, where these things tended to be more orderly, they seem to be more and more frequent and also are much more harsher in decline at the minute. Don't think it will change any of the long-term trajectory, though, in our view, in regards to the markets and where they're headed. In case you're wondering, we definitely expect the markets to be up this year. Though to suggest that it would be a straight line northeast is also folly in our view, and therefore a bit of a pullback as markets come to terms with this new world is probably to be expected somewhat, though I don't think we've seen the end of volatility just yet.
I spoke to an economist a few moments ago who went in detail about the Chinese economic data that came out earlier today and the stimulus package that was announced at the weekend. At the time of recording this interview with you, Elio, we're still waiting for some confirmation about extra stimulus to come through later today too. But still, I think the market's been up connected to that. How did local stocks respond to all this economic data coming out of China today?
Well, that's the big news story, really, what happens out of China. Because, of course, irrespective of the headlines in the US, the impact on our economy, with the exception of a few research programs at university, of course, is fairly minimal. Whereas what occurs in China is definitely far more pertinent, as it were. Now, they are, well, the talk is that there will be a financial bazooka in a figurative sense. That will be brought onto the market soon enough. We've been waiting for this for quite some time now, particularly as fears grew in regards to those phantom cities, as it were, that were built over there in China, and obviously the falling demand for steel production, which has really hurt them and by extension hurt the iron ore price as well as our economy for quite some time now. So I think the market really is on edge waiting to see what is that does come forward. We know that the move towards more of a proactive Chinese consumer is definitely where the Politburo and the various bureaucrats there want to head, but that's going to take some time. And I think any evidence that that would actually have occurred is what the market would definitely latch onto, which it has done today with regards to the strength of those retail numbers coming out of China. If that strength continues and it, you know, picks up pace, as it were, then I think we'll feel a lot more comfortable in our own skin, irrespective of what comes out of the US.
And given this big, well, it was a correction. The ASX 200 did enter a correction, right? Given that's happened, we've recovered a little bit today. Do you still see opportunities for investors at the moment, or are you kind of sitting on the sidelines?
Well, obviously, it's a bit like a seagull at the end of a footy match where we try to scrap over a few leftover chips. And I think really that's how investors have to take the investing perspective at the moment. Of course, there will always be opportunities in the share market if you know where to look. And in our view, it's definitely worth looking at stocks that have underperformed the broader market in recent times. You mentioned the price decline in the All Ordinaries Index. Well, there's actually stocks that have done worse than that. And many of them, not due to factors operationally, but the factors that are relating to either the heads of the business, like WiseTech, for example, or WTC, where operationally it's still okay, but obviously the founder's very much in the papers. PolyNovo, PNV, the dermal repair company, where again, board machinations and what's occurring there on that level is also impacting share price. You look at mineral resources, although today I note that UBS has upgraded the stock on the back of strong demand for nickel. into the future. Viva Energy, SiteMinder, Nuix is another one. So there's a range of stocks where they have actually underperformed the broader correction in the market, and we think that's where investors need to look right now if they want to identify any value that's out there, because it is much harder to do than, say, 6 or 12 months ago.
And the one thing we didn't talk about is, and when we look back at the US economic policies and what's happening with China and the latest data coming out of China and this potential stimulus, how's all of this being reflected in the commodities markets?
Well, the commodities market, iron ore hovers around that US $100 mark per ton, and I think it's going to stay there, obviously, for quite some time, particularly with regards to what occurs in China and the stimulus measures there, in particular how that impacts steel mills and the like moving forward. Of the other commodities have been, again, somewhat mixed. I mean, gold now has a three in front of it for the first time in its history, and it continues to do quite well in moments of uncertainty as we care about. But then again, those commodities which are making their way into, say, North America are obviously very challenged at the minute. And obviously anything that, you know, if we do have a Trump session, as some analysts are fearing, then obviously that's going to affect more the commodity, more the sort of industrialized commodities, as it were. So from copper all the way down to bauxite. So there's a little bit of weakness there in that near term. Obviously, strength out of China will do a hell of a lot in regards to returning positive sentiment to those stocks. And as well, you know, a few less messages will no doubt help as well. Getting them in the middle of the night too will hopefully ease a few concerns. But I think for as long as there's uncertainty in the broader macroeconomic sense, I think commodity prices are going to continue to remain a little hit and miss.
That's Elio D'Amato there from Daylight Financial. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.